are the 2019 NBA champions.
Repping everywhere I go. Everybody from the cold. This is where we call it home. To the T dot, the six, with Lowry in the mix, where Kawhi shooting from the corner, posing for the pics. This the city where we all speak patois, proper English. Raptors is my squad, that's why I sing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Untitled Raptors Podcast, episode 4 of this season. What's happening, Akshay? We just witnessed Melo reunion today, right?
Well, return, not reunion.
My apologies, return. Melo's back.
None of the teams that had him want him back, so it's definitely not a reunion.
Melo back in the NBA. Yes, but anyway, yes. We'll get into that a bit later. But how's it going?
It's going good. I just watched This Is Us, which you do not watch, so I can't discuss it with you.
I have no desire to watch that. I was telling Akshay, he watches This Is Us. I'm like, that's a bit too emotional. What caters to my needs is something like more on the side of Arrested Development, Seinfeld, you know, hits the spot really hard as well. Something that you can relate to. I can't relate to This Is Us. That stuff gets too emotional too quick.
You can relate to Seinfeld?
Yeah, I think I can relate to Seinfeld. I have friends, I think, who match certain characters on that show.
We could do a podcast. Yeah, on all your friends who match Seinfeld characters, considering our only listeners are our friends.
Yeah, definitely some of them, 100% in there.
It would be good. Who would Kevin be? Our buddy Kevin.
Our buddy Kevin's like, it's an odd one. He is like...
We should tell everybody what he did tonight.
Oh. I'll let you go for it. Go for it.
So Kevin is a married 31-year-old man whose wife loves basketball. So she occasionally listens to us on the podcast. So hopefully she hears this week's episode. Today he went to a free dinner at a restaurant because somebody came to his door and offered him a dinner to listen to a presentation about new windows. And so he's gone for the free dinner to listen to a presentation. And then when he got there, he said that everybody's like a senior there. Shockingly, that he was the only one under 40 at this free dinner to listen to a Windows presentation. And I'm not talking like Windows, like Microsoft Windows or anything like that. I'm talking like physical Windows for your house. So that's what he's gone to do. And his wife, we messaged his wife and said, did you know that's where he is? And she said, yes, thank God I'm working. So... So he's a special character. So whatever Seinfeld character he is, it would be pretty funny.
Yeah, it'd be one of those. I think there's part of me that wants to say that he would do anything. He's probably like a George, but then I think a George is like an Amar, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know. So all these, our five listeners who are not our friends don't know who we're talking about. But maybe one day our friends will join this podcast.
Maybe one day.
And actually contribute to it. We can only hope. We can only hope. How's everything else with you, sir?
Life is good. Can't complain. It was a busy weekend. I was actually in San Francisco last week.
Right. You had the chance to go watch that Boston Golden State game, but you didn't end up going.
No, because I looked at the ticket. It was $110, and I was no mood to spending $110 to watch D'Angelo Russell. And he was injured. He got injured.
He wasn't even playing. Have to watch their Pascal.
I don't even know. I looked at that starting lineup and I could not tell you who anyone was. And I was like, this is bad. This is bad, right? It was a close game, but I was like, I can't watch this. I don't want to spend $110 watching this. This would really hurt me. And plus, you know, I did bring my Raptors gear with me. Like I had the Gotham championship shirt. So I wore that around the city quite a bit. So, you know, you got to showcase, but then they'd just show their 4 or 5 rings and kind of just drown me out. So it doesn't really work.
Well, you know what? One of their rings is fine. The other two were because KD came.
Yeah, it's cheating.
And they got super lucky with the Steph Curry ankle injuries and the spike cap and all that jazz. Like just every single event that could have happened for them happened in that one year in 2016. And so... I don't think it's ever going to happen again. But still, they're a good franchise. I give them credit for drafting those three.
That's true.
Three guys.
It was good, though. I think San Francisco, otherwise, interesting city. But basketball-wise, I think everyone there was like rock and roll warriors. So good for them.
Yeah, so, I remember when I went there a couple years ago in the height of their like crazy warriorsness. Everybody has like yellow on all over the place. So yeah. So yeah, it's a great city. Not so good team anymore, but they'll be good again next year. They just need Clay and Steph back, and they'll be good. And then they're probably going to get a top five pick too now. So
LaMelo Ball, will come to Golden State Warriors.
Oh my God! Whoever they get is going to be top five. It'll be pretty good. So they haven't got a top five pick in a long time.
It's not bad of a deal. You get a top five, and you still have your superstars with you, signed for long term.
Yeah, the David Robinson special when the 1 year David Robinson got hurt, and then they drafted number one, and they got Tim Duncan. And then they played together and won a ring. So you never know.
All right, let's do the Raptors.
Raptors, all right. This week there was three games. Wednesday at Blazers, Saturday at Mavs, the end of that seemed like 2 month long road trip. And then Charlotte yesterday. So let's start with Wednesday at Blazers. What did you see?
It was a slow start, I think. This is the one, if I remember correctly, Rodney Hood came out and torched us in the beginning. He was on fire. And then it was Pascal going absolutely berserk towards the end of the game. So he was 6 of 18 midway through the third quarter and then 9 of 10 to close. And 9 of 10 is like ridiculous. He was shooting three balls going straight up against CJ McCollum and just draining him. It was good. Also realize how atrocious that defense is. And I don't think Hassan Whiteside even tries.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Like, he's awful. He's god-awful. Like he's
empty stats. He's just like another Drummond. Like everybody's like, oh, he got a 20-20 game, but
he doesn't
sucks.
Do anything. He doesn't – like it's just horrible. Even watching today's game, a part of it as well. And I'm like, what is this man doing? Yeah, he's looked lost half the time. So, and they lost Myers Leonard for him.
Yeah, and now they got Carmelo to save them on defense. So
that's amazing, fantastic! What a deal! What a deal!
So I got from it. I mean, it was a good game. I thought Nick Nurse made some good adjustments. First of all, his game plan was good on Damian Lillard. Like I've never seen a coach take three superstars and play them so aggressively 3 days in a row or three games in a row with what he did with LeBron, Kawhi, and Damian Lillard. Like it was just like, we're not letting you score. And they totally let Hood score. It was fine. They gave it up and he was hot at the start, but then he cooled off because he's a role player. They typically don't stay hot the whole game. And Nurse took his chances and it paid off. And it paid off pretty much in all three games. I know they lost the Clippers game. But they lost that game because they were dead tired. And you could
Did you know the Clippers game? In the Clippers game, when you look at Kawhi's stats, he almost had like a quadruple, whatever it was.
Quadruple double?
Yeah.
Yeah, with turnovers.
With turnovers, he had nine turnovers. Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
His career high. Nine turnovers for Kawhi is like crazy. I couldn't. I know he's playing point for them and he never played point for us. But still, I don't think there was. I can't even remember any games that he had like four or five with us. Like yeah. I'm sure there was a couple that happened, but nine is crazy. I just kind of got from it that the Blazers are not that good. I know they have Dame and CJ, and obviously they're good, but their entire starting lineup outside of Dame and CJ is changed. Their center has changed. They've lost
Myers Leonard. That's a big one.
Yeah, they lost Myers Leonard. They lost, well, Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic is out.
Injured.
And then they've lost Aminu.
Yeah.
And they lost Harkless.
Yeah,
these are all people who play defense. They're not great offensively, but they play defense, and so they've lost all of that. And then they brought in Whiteside. I think their two guard is like little, like that rookie. And so like you can't really rely on a rookie to be, you know, a lockdown defender, regardless of who he is. And so it just, you can see it. The defense is just terrible. So I don't think this is a fluke that they started off poorly. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. Because they just can't play defense. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part, right? I mean, like, I think the biggest one is the more, I really think the more Harkless one is going to hurt them a lot.
Yeah. Those guys were all good.
And El Farouq Aminu. Those two, because they're not, you're absolutely right on there. Defenders, they would guard, especially in the West, their top players. So they would be guarding the LeBrons, the Clays, the Steph Currys. You know, like, they're on them. Like, you would lock down, and then you'd give Dame and CJ a little bit more freedom. Now I think you've got, like, Dame and CJ taking a little bit of more of a defensive load, and they're going to get exposed.
I think the biggest thing is nowadays you can't hide players anymore. Like, there used to be a concept even 5 years ago when the three-point shooting wasn't crazy and it wasn't as much switching. You could hide players. Like, we saw it for years with DeMar. They hid DeMar on somebody. And then it just became harder and harder to hide people. So now if you have a weak link in your starting lineup defensively, they will get hunted so much, especially in the fourth. They'll get hunted. And they'll do switching till you get to that person, and you can't really do much. And if you go under a screen, everybody can shoot now.
Yeah, so you just shoot. Be careful. Yeah, you got to go right over it.
Yep. Yeah, so it's hard, and especially when you have like two weak links on defense in your starting lineup. And it's not like Dame and CJ are stellar defenders. Even for superstar standards, they're just okay at best, right? So I don't know. Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll turn around, but. Signing Melo is not a confident move. It's a panic move to me, but we'll see. Okay, Mavs. So what? That was the Luka game.
Oh my God, Luka Doncic. He goes to free throw line way too much, man.
Okay, just that game. The free throw discrepancy was like 33-15.
Yeah, right? That was 33-15. That's something that like got me out. We shot only 15 free throws that game. Like, I think Raptors they're not the top in free throw percentage in the league. So, which is fine because we've been shooting a hot hand, right? So, like, in free throw attempts a game, the Raptors are in the bottom 10. So, we shoot 21 free throws a game while, you know, like, teams like Houston are 28 and the bottom of the league is Indiana. So, we're not a very good free throw attempts team. What we are is that when we get to the line, we make them. We're one of the top at 83%. That being said, what's compensated a lot for us is the fact that we've been shooting really well from three-point land, right? We shoot 40%. So when our three-point shot is off, it really, really puts pressure on our mid-range game because we're not going into the paint, getting that bucket, getting those easy free throws. And in this case, when the transition is – you lose transition, free throws. You're slowing the game down to, like, something that you're not used to. Luke is going to the line, like, way too much. And you're forcing the Raps to play half-court offense, right? And I think as much as this sucked a lot, but I think it was good because it kind of like opened up the Raptors' weaknesses, and I think half-court offense is going to be a huge weakness.
I mean, it's hard to see like without Kyle out because he's their best creator, right? Absolutely. So, and Serge is a pretty good half-court guy too because he makes his little jumpers, right?
And that's what playoff basketball is. Playoff basketball is mostly half court. We don't see that much transition. We know that. So it's going to be interesting. And I think Fred does create a little bit more now than he was last year. He's not holding the ball for like 20, 30 seconds. Now he's holding it for only 10 seconds.
He's gotten a lot better, actually, his playmaking. He's not Kyle Lowry levels right now, but he's definitely significantly better. He wasn't good at all in playmaking.
Yeah, he was awful. So, he was a liability in the playmaking side, right? So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I thought this game was just like a really tired game. I couldn't really get much out of it other than the fact that they were tired. Both sides of the, like, both teams shot terribly. I felt like I was watching like a 1990s game again. I think Siakam, I just remember Siakam's numbers from that game were terrible. But he looked tired, like no legs on his jumpers. And it was like the last game of a long road trip. I kind of expect where he's played 41 plus minutes every single game. Even Siakam, who looks like he has an unlimited motor, if you play him 40 plus minutes a game for five games on the road, it's gonna catch up to him eventually. And I kind of felt like it really caught up to them in that game.
Yeah.
With that being said, I kind of love, like, I think we've played what 13 games right now, and we've lost four. And even the four that we've lost, we've been in it in the last like 2 minutes. I think this game there was a steal, and then it was a 2-point game with like 2 minutes to go, and then Norm Powell did some Norm Powell things and we lost it. which is fine.
Norm Powell. He's a prospect in making. I think he's the Nick Antropov of this year, of the Raptors. Always a prospect.
He's now, I have enough evidence to just say he is what he is right now. So Nick Nurse actually came out. I kind of love championship Nick Nurse because he doesn't hold back anything now. And he said Norm's great. He sometimes gives you 26 and sometimes he gives you zero. I wish I could just pencil him for 16 every night instead. And so I was like, yes, Nick, that is exactly what we all want. I just want him to be consistent, like a 10 to 15 point score every game that I could pencil him. But he goes for like, he's right. He goes for 20 plus or he'll go for zero. Anyways, back to this game. I thought it was just a tired game. I couldn't really get much out of it. But I do like the fact that this team has a lot of fight, even in the four games they've lost. They've all been close games. And the one game they were getting blown out, the Milwaukee game, they came back. And that was a four-point game with a couple of minutes to go. So still like a lot of positive signs. So it generally 13 games into it, it's a fun team to watch. I'm not frustrated watching this team at all.
All right.
Monday versus Charlotte. I went to that game. My first game of the season. The new intro is very nice. You're going on Wednesday, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
New intro is really nice. I thought there's like fireworks and stuff. More fireworks. I feel like there's more. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe
it's championship Raptors, man. It's got to be fireworks everywhere we go.
It looked nice, the new intro. And then I really just thought the ball movement was crazy. Like 40 assists. I know you need to have hot shooting to get 40 assists, but you still need to share the ball to get it. So 40 assists is crazy. It's a franchise record. If you get a 30 assist game, that's a very good game. So 10 plus assists on that is awesome. How about you?
Same thing, man. OG hitting threes, man. I can't believe it. What a year difference makes. OG is like number two in three-point field goal percentage in the league. Last year, I was like begging him for him not to shoot. Holy crap. What a turnaround.
Yeah. He took a step back or a sidestep three or something. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
Who's this guy?
I don't know what this guy is, man.
To stop him, they scratch him in the eye again. It's been a rough week.
You gotta go after the guy, right? That's what it is.
He got scratched in the eye twice, the same eye twice. But apparently this one wasn't as bad, and he was eligible to return to the game, but they were up by like 30-something. So we got some DeJuan Hernandez time and Brissett.
Man, you saw the next wave of Raptors 905.
And I waited till the clock hit zero to leave because I was like, I'm gonna watch DeJuan Hernandez do something, and he did very little. he got a layup. He got a layup. It was nice. He ran the floor well. He got a layup. There was my favorite play of the game was there was a fast break that who's running? Oh, Matt Thomas. Matt Thomas got like a steal or something. I don't know if he got the steal, but he was running. He had the ball in the fast break, and he just passed so late, didn't run the fast break properly at all, just created such a commotion, and it was like a missed shot. And then I think Rondae Hollis-Jefferson came in and got the rebound and put it back. But it was just like, this is not how you run a fast break in the NBA, man. It was you don't pass that late. You fill the lane properly. Oh, it was terrible. But he's out there hitting threes and not there to run fast breaks for us.
That's right. That's our cheap man's JJ Redick. That's where it is.
Yep. Walmart JJ Redick.
JJ Redick. That's the guy. Walmart JJ Redick. I like that.
Or we could go really, really old school for our old school listeners and say Byway.
Oh, snap. Okay. There you go. Walmart or Byway. Byway JJ, it's the cheap man's guy. Let's go.
Okay, do the ad, Dal.
Love is a powerful drug. The Raptors are that drug for many people. However, at times, you just need to experience that love and at times, and it just may be with another person. Times have arrived, and times have changed, where now you have to be online and swipe and click on your potential match. But what are the chances they'll like you back? Well, good news is for us, because our friends at tinderphotography.ca can help you and get you that match you want. Minimize the ambiguity, get it done, and remember, love is a powerful drug only if you have good photos.
Wow. Love is a powerful drug. You should copyright that.
I'm gonna put we're gonna get t-shirts out there, you know, like what a do baby is just gonna walk around with love is a powerful drug shirt. That's what it's gonna be, you know.
If we ever become famous, that's the line that everybody will know us for.
You know what? If we ever become famous, that's exactly the line we're gonna know us for. And then I'm gonna write at the bottom of it, I'm gonna write down, I was an accountant, just to know the creativity behind this as well, right? So like, yeah.
Have like represent the CPAs.
Represent the CPA, the back of it. I'll have like assets, liabilities, IFRS, ASPI. I'm throwing out accounting, hardcore depreciation, amortization at the front. Love is a powerful drug.
Oh my God. Everybody's just turned off the podcast now because you've mentioned too many accounting terms.
First of all, Akshay works for an accounting firm.
So no, I don't. Accounting software firm. I saw somebody yesterday at a new guy who joined our team was showing my co-op tea tables. Remember tea tables? He's like, well, you credit this and you debit this.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh shit. Great. Like, what is this? Second year accounting?
This is high school. Oh no,
that's high school accounting. Right?
High school accounting.
Grade 11 accounting.
It took me a second to realize like tea tables. I'm like, oh my God, like debit credit stuff.
Yeah, it was like tea tables. Okay.
All right, let's credit this conversation and move on to the next thing.
We talked about Windows today and tea tables. Okay, let's do some general NBA. Let's talk about Carmelo Anthony's first game. He just finished the game half an hour ago. He finished with a great line of 10 points, 4 rebounds, 0 assists, 1 block on 4 of 14 shooting. And a game low minus 20. What do you think?
Hey, man. On a bunch of Instagram posts, someone said, I think I saw something on like Instagram, and it said, like, how many points is Carmelo's going to score? And everyone there is going 20, 25 points, 24 points. I just typed in 2. And I think 2 is probably a bit ridiculous. It would have been 2 if Dame was playing, right? Okay, Dame wasn't playing, so then I said, oh, so it's going to be 10. You scored 10 points. Carmelo Anthony is great, but it's the same game. When I watched the shots today, it's the exact same shots he does. Those fadeaway jump shots he does from the corner, from the side back to the basket. It's tough. Like I thought it was tough to see his offensive game. Other than that, his offensive awareness game is a different story. That's something that maybe could help. But if you're struggling with defense, Carmelo Anthony, getting Carmelo Anthony for defense is like going to McDonald's and ordering a salad. Just doesn't cut it.
So I was watching that end of the floor when I was watching it more, the defensive end. Because obviously we know that even if he shot 4 or 14 today, it's fine, whatever. At some point, Dame's going to come back, and the guy could put up points still. Yeah. I was watching And I did see, so a couple of things he has changed. Number one, he's playing the 4. Yeah. He's not yelling and screaming about playing the 3 anymore. And I saw him like setting picks and not worrying about being the primary ball handler. He was not like a guy who set a lot of picks. So he was setting picks. He was setting off-ball picks. And so I saw that. But then I was watching the defensive end, and literally the first play of the game, he didn't box out his guy, and the guy got an offensive rebound.
Towards the end right now, Jrue Holiday. He misses like an easy, like a layup in that sense, loses the ball to Jrue Holiday. And then Jrue Holiday gets a screen from, I think it was Ingram or something, and hits a 3 ball right in his face. And Anthony is nowhere there. Anthony's caught up in the screen. Like stuff like that, right? Like you've basically, that's a 5-point swing in a matter of like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was, I'm cheering for him. I would love to see him have some sort of decent send off, like Vince Carter style, you know, where like people respect him and things like, because he's still a very good player, right?
Right.
But I don't know. I know it's one game and it's super like small sample size that you can't, you know, but that game couldn't have gone much worse other than the fact that I saw him making a little bit more of an effort on the offensive end to like do other things other than be Carmelo Anthony and jab step 12 times.
Yeah, this is going to be. I'm hoping for the best as well for Carmelo, free Melo or stay Melo, whatever they call themselves.
Stay Melo, hoodie Melo,
hoodie Melo.
So many Melo memes. Okay, the greatest Raptor controversy since the DeMar DeRozan trade.
Ooh.
What are your thoughts on rings?
Okay, here's my thought. I don't think
give people okay. background, by the way.
All right, so what just got reported recently is that the Raptors will not be giving the championship rings to the Raptors who were part of the season but got traded midway, right? So Jonas Valanciunas, CJ Miles, DeLon Wright.
Lorenzo Brown, let's not forget.
Lorenzo,
MVP.
League MVP.
Greg Monroe.
And there's Greg Monroe, yeah, the guy who played for like all the teams that we faced.
Yeah, he went to all four of the Eastern Conference teams.
That year. So all that, and I think it was reported that they're not going to give these guys rings. And it's historically, no team has done that except for, I believe, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No,
Golden State Warriors tried to do it with Anderson Varejao, where they traded him midway and then they gave it to him.
But he rejected it. He rejected it.
He rejected it, right? Yeah. But the whole
which is what you should do. I would reject it.
I don't know if I'd reject it. I'd take it, though. I'd take it. If you get the ring, you take it. Like, you may not be a champion. You take the ring. Keep it.
Right? Fine. But I don't desire it. Like, if they give it to me, I'm fine with it. But I didn't win it.
No, that's true. Fair enough. But, okay, here's the take. Everyone thinks that there's a significant amount of population that thinks that JV, CJ, and DeLon should get rings. Let's break it down slowly. Akshay, what are your initial thoughts? Give me a yes or no. Do you think they should get rings?
No.
Okay, fair enough. No. Why? No.
Because you have to draw the line somewhere, right? And so I don't think people think JV, CJ, and DeLon should get it. I think people think JV should get it.
Yeah. Okay. That's...
But then where's the argument for why shouldn't DeMar get it too?
Yeah.
Right? Like your argument is that he was there for 7 years. That's not normal NBA practice. In other sports, in the MLB, it is normal practice for everybody on the roster who touched, you know, the major league roster to get rings. But the MLB also doesn't have like $50,000 rings, like the rings that they're giving out. And I know it's just money to a multi-million dollar company, but you need to draw the line somewhere. And it's not, if you say that anybody on the roster gets it, then you have to give it to Greg Monroe and Lorenzo Brown and any other G League call up I'm forgetting right now. So there's like another, you know, 6 or 7 rings you have to give out. And nobody's fighting for Greg Monroe here.
Yeah.
You know, or Lorenzo Brown.
There's a reason why nobody's fighting for Greg Monroe. Because Greg Monroe is not worth fighting for.
So he tried real hard, though. He went to all four teams in the Eastern Conference to get a ring. But
he just picked the wrong one at the wrong time.
Yeah. So what is your thoughts?
I'm also the same way. I think I say no, I don't think so. And the reason I'll tell you more bluntly than anything is because those players didn't help us get the championship. They helped us pave the path to that, but they didn't win the championship, right? The championship is won in April to June when you go to the playoffs. It was a conscious decision by management to know that JV wasn't going to help us. Conscious decision by management to know that DeMar wasn't going to help us win the championship, right? There are unfortunate truths to this. That's one of the reasons. I think it should be only players who win. I don't even think Jordan Lloyd played, but he got a little ring. But fair enough.
Yeah, but he was on the roster, right? So what they did was anybody who's on the June 13th roster.
Yeah, June 13th roster, they get a ring. Fair enough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's... it's an interesting take, and I understand when people are like, hey, they played so much, he should get a ring, anything like that. Absolute horseshit. I think Amir Johnson gave his entire damn, spent so much time in Toronto to do something. Jose Calderon did so much. Then you can go way back. You can pull all sorts of crap that leads to this championship. You draw the line at that. That's it. If you're on the roster, you win. Otherwise, I'm sorry. Go win it somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And like, JV's just isn't good enough. Like, we wouldn't have won without Marc Gasol. He like destroyed. Like, it's, that's the thing that people like drives me nuts about it. Like, it's not like you substitute Marc Gasol for JV and we win. We don't.
No.
We don't get past round two.
No,
you know,
I even think round one would be difficult just because the way Marc Gasol like took Nikola Vucevic and basically looked into his soul, ripped his heart out. And like destroyed every single basketball. He was basically the Monstars, and in that series, he literally took Nikola Vucevic's talent out of that first series. You think JV can do that? No way.
No, and if you watch, I get that defense is not just one-on-one, but if you see the lines that Vucevic gets against, say, Memphis right now,
yeah,
it's not. And if you see his lines against, like, you're going to see it on Wednesday. Low-key, one of my favorite storylines since last April is watching Vucevic, his numbers against Marc Gasol. It's just so much fun. That's what I end up watching. Like, in last game, I ended up watching that more than anything. So, because sometimes I watch like non-ball, actions in the game, and I'll just watch Marc Gasol guard Vucevic, and you can see he's just in his head. He's so in his head at this point. He doesn't know what to do because like five games last year, he destroyed him. And then again, the first game this year, he destroyed him. And he's going to do it again tomorrow. I feel fairly confident. So that's our take on rings. I don't know. I think everybody else, the same people who were yelling and screaming about DeMar getting traded are probably yelling and screaming about JB not getting a ring.
There you go. All right.
That's fine. What else did you want to talk about? Oh, you wanted to talk about three-point shooting.
Oh, this is quick. But it was pretty interesting. Matt Thomas. All right. Who is the three-point percentage, leading three-point percentage guys in the league right now? There's three of them. It's Myers Leonard, the same guy Hassan Whiteside got traded for. Is averaging 61% from three right now. He's shooting two three-pointers a game, getting one, so 1.1. So he's 61%. So okay, he's not playing. He's playing 20 minutes a game, decent amount. He's pretty good. But right after that is our Raptor legend, Matt Thomas, at 56%. And below that is even better because that's OG. And OG shoots it a lot more than Matt Thomas, right? Yeah.
So Matt Thomas still gets, I'm surprised he has two a game. I didn't even think it was two a game.
But it's insane when you look at Matt Thomas, how are those shots? Every single shot I've seen him take is like a defender is like pretty close. He's not left wide open. He's getting like shots with defenders. So on NBA advanced stats, there's some stats out there. Matt Thomas is shooting 62% from three when defenders are tight between 2 to 4 feet, right? So that's insane. So when defenders are super close, he has such a quick release and an accurate release. He just launches it. And touch time. If you look at all Matt Thomas, I think he touches the ball way less than 2 seconds.
Oh, for sure.
Way less than 2 seconds. He's number two in the league in field goal percentage with 2 seconds of touch time. Any player who has less than 2 seconds of touch time, any shots in that sense, Matt Thomas is number two. Quick release.
Should we upgrade him from Byway JJ Redick?
Yeah, he's dead. He's more than that now. I think you could probably upgrade him to
We should do a watch for the whole year.
Yeah, he's target. He's target level now.
No. I'm he's played too little. We're gonna keep him at Byway. And if he plays better, we'll upgrade him to different. And if he plays worse, we'll make him like Kmart JJ Redick.
I was thinking like 7-Eleven
or something. I don't know. We'll figure out a scale. The scale to JJ Redick, I think you wanted to talk about the sustainability. I don't, he's not going to shoot 56% from three and no, OG Anunoby's not going
to. Pretty awesome to see the players do that, right? That's the crazy part. And it's the offense, when you look at the assists and everything, it's going to get you those shots that are good shots. Like they're good shots to take. They're not like Matt Thomas, all his shots are catch and shoot. They're not pull up. That's an interesting thing.
So here's what I think. I think these individual stats are not going to sustain. It's impossible. Nobody in the history of the NBA has shot 50%+ from three for a whole season. So obviously that's not going to sustain. But what I do think is sustainable is the Raptors are number one in the league in percentage. And they're just over 40%. Now, do they stay at 40? I don't know. But I do think being top three in the league in three-point percentage, because they actually have really good shooters across the board now. OG's improved, Pascal's improved. And they've since the Marc Gasol trade last year, they have led the league in three-point percentage. I think that's a pretty big sample size for me. We're looking at almost 40, 50 games now, right? So I think that's very sustainable, especially with the style of Nick Nurse's offense. The shooters that we have, everybody can shoot. Serge is a better shooter. I think Kyle hasn't shot that well this year yet, and so I expect his numbers to go up. So I think there's going to be some normalizing that's going to go on with the numbers. But I do think overall they're going to be like top three in three-point percentage, which is hilarious because we spent the first like 4 months last year talking about how poorly their three-point percentage was till Marcus Gasol came.
Yeah, that was interesting. I remember that. It was like, oh my God, we can't. CJ Miles, will this be the game? CJ Miles.
Well, it's interesting that like these are NBA players, and then if you give them an extra second more, how much more accurate they are. And like that, the ball movement with Marc Gasol and the less ISO style gives you that extra second here and there, and that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. All right. Last thing, I'll talk very briefly. Today is November 19th. Actually, what happened November
19th, 2004? Oh, I know, because you put it in the notes. The Malice at the Palace. And a big trade for the Blue Jays in 2012. Josh Johnson came to the Blue Jays. One of the most exciting trades in Blue Jays history. One of the most disappointing trades in Blue Jays history. Anyways, go ahead. Tell me about Malice in the Palace.
Oh, my God. That was ridiculous. That was unnecessary, guys. You're going to have to edit that last 20 seconds out. I don't want to hear no Blue Jays talk in this podcast right here. So Malice in the Palace, the craziest event in 2004, November 19 in NBA history. Huge fight between the Pacers and Pistons players and more Pacers and the fans itself. What changed? What actually happened? We found out a lot of people got suspended. When you look into it deep, what changes have had to be made? The Malice of the Palace originated from a slow, grinded out basketball sense, right? It was a slow time of basketball. People would go have enough time. There's a lot of physicality. To lower the physicality, the NBA looked at different alternatives, and they thought that pacing the game, spacing the game out, and improving the pace of the game would be really helpful to the style of the game and hopefully avoid fights and a lot of this kind of stuff. So the pace of the game improved. What they do? They banished hardcore zone defense. And what I mean by hardcore zone defense is now you have 3 seconds in the key violation. So you really can't play that to another level. From 10 to 8 seconds. Normally offensive players would have 10 seconds to bring the ball up. Now they're at 8 seconds. So really speeding that offense up a little bit more, trying to get the play going. And lastly, the most aesthetic-looking change was that David Stern enacted a dress code change. So small things like this, dress code change, people used to wear like baggy shirts. This was the back of the day where I think...
It's the Allen Iverson rule.
Allen Iverson rule, right? So you change it up. So now all of a sudden people are wearing, I don't know, pylons or God knows what they're like, Russell Westbrook wears, whatever it is. But they're wearing something a little bit more different because it changes the perception of the game, changes the perception of the players. Because two things. One, you want to avoid the injury. Avoid the fouls, the aggressive play, and speed the game. Second, you had to do repair work on the images of the player. And the easiest repair work that you can do is slowly change the dress code so the players become more marketable and more relatable to the fans, right? Yeah. So over the years, we've seen how that's changed. And what's the result? Lakers were the most valued franchise at $447 million. Now, the cheapest franchise is like $1 billion. So it's...
Oh, yeah. Billion is probably a low estimate.
Billion's a low estimate, absolutely. Yeah, so yeah. When I look back and I look at this and I'm like, there's a lot the Malice of the Palace did that has impacted the game today and how fast it is right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll leave it at that. I will just say that the guy who got his ass kicked by Ron Artest in that in the Malice in the Palace totally deserved it. Oh, the guy you don't throw a drink at somebody and then expect to get your ass not kicked. Like, oh,
you should have got like Stone Cold Stunned right there.
I know it's a fan and I know you're a player and whatever, but whatever. They're still human. If you throw a drink at somebody, if I throw a drink at somebody in the bar, they're not going to be like, oh, that's okay, and move away. They're going to probably come after me. So I expected, I don't really hate on Ron Artest for doing what he did. So
there you go.
Okay, this week's games, Wednesday versus Magic. Talib will be there sitting courtside. No, not the courtside.
Courtside. No courtside. Sorry, no courtside.
Level 300 in the corner.
You know it.
Yeah, that's where the Sprite Zone. That is where the real fans sit. That's how you know people are real fans. Is if you're like, did you ever sit in the Sprite Zone? And they're like, what's this? If they say, what's the Sprite Zone? Then you know they're out.
Yeah, get him out of here. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, there was a time when we sat in the Sprite Zone. It was $10 tickets. Okay, so what do you think about the Magic?
A win against the Magic.
And what do you think Vucevic scores?
I would say like 14 points.
Oh, 14 is probably pretty high for him against Gasol.
14 points. I think 14 points. I think he's gonna expand a bit more.
Okay, I think a win as well. Saturday at the Hawks. Trae Young. Vince Carter.
Win. They just got blown out by like LA Clippers by 50. 48 or 50 points.
Yeah, they've had this like they've played well, but then they've had these like crazy blowout games where they just played.
They got destroyed by like it was Paul George in the Clips, and 76ers on Monday.
Yeah, so Hawks, I think they're gonna win, and then I don't want to lose to the Sixers, but I just think we're probably still not gonna have our guys back by then, and so I think they're gonna lose that one.
It's the Embiid revenge game.
Yeah, I just looked at that Clippers Hawks score, 150-101. Oh my god!
Yeah, I remember looking at that. I was like, "This is ridiculous, right?"
Yeah, and but then like they beat the Nuggets like earlier in the week. Like,
yeah, ah. It's weird. It's weird. Yeah, so, all right, that's it.
That's it. We will. What's the? I guess next week Tuesday again because there's a Monday night game. So we'll do that again. All right, cool. Thanks for listening, guys.
Appreciate it.